Well, would you turn with me to Psalm 96? We're going to get there in just a moment. Well, today is the last Sunday of May. And of course, as we just mentioned, it is Memorial Day weekend, for which marks for many people the official beginning of the summertime season. And for many churches, the end of springtime and the beginning of summer also means the wrapping up or the conclusion of a ministry year. You know, for us as a church family, we just concluded Awana a couple weeks ago. Our Sunday school program that we normally have here on Sunday mornings immediately following a worship service, it's now on a summer break. If you're in a growth group, one of our small group ministries, you may be also on a summer break. You know, for so many churches like ours, when we come to the summertime, it can feel like we are slowing down a little bit. It may feel like we are moving to a lighter ministry season. But while some of our ministries may be going on a summer break, I actually believe that summertime is an opportunity for our personal ministry to increase. I really believe that summertime gives us an opportunity to have greater connection with those around us, greater opportunity for us to build new relationships, for us to be building on old relationships, for the sake of sharing the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And the reason is this, is because it's a time that many of us may be traveling out of our normal spheres of influence. We're going to be going and visiting family and friends that we don't normally see, family and friends that may not be believers in Jesus Christ. We're going to be going to parts of this state that we're not normally in, interacting with people we don't normally run into. Or maybe we're going to parts of this country that we've never been before, meeting people for the very first time. It's also a time in our neighborhoods in which they just also seem to come alive. I don't know if you've been experiencing that. Your neighborhood, I know it has been in ours. It just feels like just people are walking all around. People are working out in their yards. You see people riding. I mean, it just feels like every day you're just meeting someone new. See, summertime gives us a great opportunity to build new relationships, to invest in current relationships. And so because of that, I want to encourage us as a church family to begin to think about this summer season differently. I want to encourage us as a family, as a church family, to begin to think about these next 3 months, June, July, and August, as an opportunity for us to very purposely and very intentionally live out our mission of glorifying God, loving people, making disciple makers. And so this morning, this is what I want to do. I want to commission us. I want to commission us as we enter into this summer season as missionaries. I want to commission us as we enter into the work and into the relationships that God is going to bring into our lives as we have greater engagement in our neighborhoods, as we enter into our communities and beyond. As we meet people for the very first time, maybe it's just a random moment in a gas station as we are on a trip somewhere on a weekend. This morning, I want to commission us to go and to use this season with intention as we live out our mission. And so to help commission us, to help send us out, I want to look at the first three verses of Psalm 96. And so if you're not already there, would you turn with me to Psalm 96? Read along with me. Verse 1 says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples." Now, if you're familiar at all with the Psalms, these words sound familiar. Now, even if you're not particularly familiar with this psalm, or it's one you haven't read in a while, the themes should be very familiar. The psalmist telling us to sing to the Lord. The psalmist telling us to worship God. The psalmist telling us to declare his name, his glory among the nations. And it's interesting, what the psalmist is doing in these first three verses is he's connecting our worship with God to our proclamation of God. He's connecting our desire to sing to God with a desire to tell others about God. You see, hearts filled with true worship, they're going to tell others about God. What is overflowing in our hearts, that's what we're going to tell others about. That's what we're going to share. That's what we're going to be outward with. And so when we look at commissioning ourselves to go into our neighborhoods, into our communities, and everywhere that we will travel this summer, as we look at what it means to commission ourselves to declare God's greatness and His glory, the psalmist is telling us that it must begin with worship. That if we want to go outward, it begins with us being worshipers. Verse 1 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song." You know, this phrase, new song, is used several times throughout the book of Psalms. It's used in the book of Isaiah. And the idea of a new song is that we are responding in worship to the new work that we see God doing in our lives now. We are responding, I mean, we're not responding to what God did 5 years ago or what God did 20 years ago. Now, that's a very appropriate thing to do. I mean, it's very appropriate for us to worship Him for what He did years ago. Every Sunday morning, we gather to worship what happened on the cross. But the idea behind this new song is that we're also very aware about what God is doing right now. In Psalm 40, in the first few verses of Psalm 40, we see a picture of someone who's in a season of despair, a season of grief, a season of suffering. Listen to the words of the psalmist in Psalm 40. He says, "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of that pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground. He steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God." Now, what's new? What's new for this person in Psalm 40? What's new is what God has just done in his life. God has brought him out of that season of despair. God has put a new hope inside of him. He's placed him on a new foundation. And so this psalmist is going to praise God in a new way. See, this psalmist now has new reasons to respond to God in worship. Oh, thank you, God, for taking me out of that very difficult situation. Thank you, God, for filling me once again with a new joy and a new hope. And so we come back to Psalm 96, and the writer begins with these words, "Sing to the Lord a new song." The writer is saying to all the earth, because that's who the psalmist is calling all of us, all the peoples of the earth. He's saying, examine how God is at work. Examine, peoples of the earth, how God is currently at work in your life, and worship Him out of that new work. Proclaim to Him what you see Him doing, and worship Him. You know, Scripture tells us that God's work is not just an ongoing work. It's not just a never-ending work. But Scripture tells us there's a newness to His work. Lamentations 3, 22 through 23 tells us that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And then the writer of Lamentations says this, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What the writer of Lamentations is telling us is that God is at work. And there is a newness to that work. It's not just a repeating of old things. And we have the opportunity as His people to recognize it. And we have an opportunity to respond to it. See, you and I, have daily opportunities to see God at work in our lives. And we have daily opportunities to respond to Him in prayer and praise. You know, every day of my life, I would say just about every day of my life, my wife comes to me and shares with me some new drawing, some new story, some new school project that one of our kids has done. And it's not as if our kids bring these things to her. My wife just finds them. You know, maybe they're under a bed, they're in a room, they've just kind of been thrown in the corner, they're in a backpack. And when my wife finds these little pieces of work, these little drawings, these little stories, it just fills her with great joy. She loves it. She loves seeing these expressions of creativity that her kids have done because it gives her an insight into who they are and what they're thinking, what's going on inside their hearts. And she wants to share those with me. The reason that just about every day my wife can find some new thing to bring and show me is because just about every day our kids are creating something new. There's some new piece that they're putting together, some new little story that's in their mind. And so every day she has an opportunity not only to be filled with the joy of seeing what they are creating, but she has an opportunity to praise them for that, to go, "Oh, I just love the way you drew these clouds. The way you're drawing people is getting so good. I love, look at the eyes, look at the way you did that. Oh, I love the story that you wrote. This is so creative." Here's the thing about my wife. If she was to go away for a week, and it's just me and the kids, there's a good chance I'm not going to be seeing new things every day. Now, they're still going to be happening, but I'm probably not going to notice that little piece of paper in the corner and run to it and pick it up. I'm probably not going to happen to notice some random thing sticking out under the bed and pick it up and look at it. I don't know if it's a guy thing, if it's just my own personality, but all those things are probably still happening around the house. I'm just not seeing them. You see, my wife doesn't just stumble on these things accidentally. My wife is aware that there are things being created by our kids every day, and she's looking for them. If there's a little piece of paper turned over, she's going, "I wonder what that is." And because she's looking for them, she gets to experience the joy of them. And because she's looking for them, she gets to be in a constant place of building up our kids. "I love what you're drawing here. I love the story that you are telling." When the psalmist sings, when the psalmist says, "Sing to the Lord a new song," it requires a heart that is longing to see the new things that God is doing in our lives. That we have eyes, that we have a heart that is seeking out what He is doing. And yet sometimes it can be easy not to see the many ways that God is at work all around us. Too often we can just be racing through our day trying to accomplish whatever we're trying to accomplish. And we can find ourselves not seeing the new things around us. But not only not seeing the new things around us, we can find ourselves not seeing the moments that God is inviting us into His work. And when that happens, it hinders our worship. See, I think one of the reasons why we can sometimes come in here, and I've certainly had this happened in my own life. I can come in here on a Sunday morning, which I should be worshiping, and I just feel like there's a distance in my heart toward God. I just lack a desire to worship. And I think one of the reasons could be because I'm not tuned in to how God is at work on a daily basis in my life. So that I can come in here or in any day and be able just to worship Him and respond to Him to the new things that He is doing. This summer, God is going to be at work in your life. He's going to be at work in your life. And God is going to be doing new things in you. And he is going to be inviting you into new ministry opportunities, into new relationships. And we know this because the Bible says that God is in the process of transforming every one of us who is a believer in Jesus Christ into the image of his Son. God is at constant work in us. The question is, will we see it this summer? And will we enter into those moments this summer? And so here's just a suggestion, an idea I'm going to throw out. It may not resonate with every one of you, but it may for some of you, maybe one of you. I want to throw out the challenge of taking the months of June, July, and August and regularly journaling how you see God at work through those 3 months. Now, maybe it's not every day. Maybe it's every couple days. Maybe it's every week. Maybe every Saturday, every Sunday, you look back and you see how you saw God at work in that. Maybe you're responding not only to how you see God individually at work in your life and your family's work, but maybe you're responding to how you hear God at work in your community around the world. Maybe you hear that of work that he is doing, of believers proclaiming him amongst persecution, and you're just going to journal that. Thank you, God, for giving these believers in this nation courage and boldness. Or maybe it's something in your life that you see his faithfulness regularly and you just journal about it. And then after you journal, praise him for it. Worship him for it. Let our awareness of how God is at work in our lives lead us to praise. But then don't just stop at the praise. Don't just stop in a quiet moment of worship before God. Tell someone. Maybe your spouse, a friend, a parent, child. Maybe something as a family you want to do at the dinner table and say, hey, how did you, anything you want to share about how you saw God at work? Tell someone. You see, because our worship of God should lead to our proclamation of God. Verse 2, it says, sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation day to day. You know, when we read that verse, it may send us to another psalm. It may make us think of Psalm 19, which says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. The reference here to the heavens and the skies is simply a reference to God's creation, that all God's creation is proclaiming him day after day, night after night, because that's what creation was created to do. But then we see here in Psalm 96 that this is what all the earth should do, meaning all the peoples of the earth. This is what we were created to do as his creation. We are to tell of his salvation from day to day. We are to be in a constant place of proclaiming the greatness of God and the salvation of God. And where does it begin? In a place of recognizing the new things that he is doing. So we can worship him for those things, and then we proclaim others. And then in verse 3, it tells us more specifically what it means to proclaim God. Verse 3 says, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Now, of course, this is a great verse that reminds us why we are to be global Christians. Why we are to be Christians who are involved in worldwide missions, because we are to declare his glory among the nations. We are to tell of the great works of God among all the peoples. Sometimes when you read a verse like that, it just seems so lofty. It just seems so out of reach. How am I living in this town, in this city, in this state? How am I to be one who declares God to the nations? Well, I think before we declare him to the nations, it begins with us just declaring him in our everyday life. And verse 3 gives us two ways that we are to make God known. We are to tell of his glory and to tell of his works. And so I want to just take the next few minutes to look at what these two things are and how we can live these out in our lives this summer. Verse 3 begins, we are to declare his glory. God's glory is simply his greatness. We're declaring who he is, his character, his nature, the fact that he is God. Now, once again, that can seem like a lofty thing. How do we do that? How am I supposed to be doing that over the next 3 months? How am I going to be doing that in my everyday life? What does that look like for me to declare him as a holy and a righteous God? 2 weeks ago, I was at the Plymouth DMV. Had to update my driver's license. I'm standing in line, and I was standing in line right behind this older lady. And we found ourselves in conversation, and she quickly tells me that she is just moved here from Wisconsin, and she's having to take the Minnesota driver's exam, and she already took it once, and she didn't pass. And so she says, "I'm pretty nervous. I want to be able to pass it." The moment she said that, I knew, okay, God, if you give me an opportunity, I'm going to pray for this woman in this line somehow, some way. And so we start talking more, and she shares with me more about her life and what brought her here, and I share with her more about my life and what brought us here. And then she's like one person away from being called up to the desk, and I just leaned in, and I said, "Can I pray for you before you take this test?" And she says, "Please." So I just kind of lean in, I put my arm around her, and I begin by just declaring the greatness of God. Now, I don't know where this woman was spiritually. She gave me little hints that she grew up Catholic, but I didn't know what kind of relationship she has with Jesus Christ. I don't know what kind of relationship she has with the living God, but I wanted her to know his character. So I said, "God, I thank you that you're not a distant God, but you're a personal God. Thank you, God, that you're a God who can give us your peace, you can give us your wisdom, you can give us your strength, that you're a God who cares about the things that we are going through. And so, Father, I lift up this woman. God, would you allow her to pass this test?" Now, it's a small moment, but in that moment, I had the privilege of declaring the glory of God over this woman. I don't know her story from here. But I do know that in that moment, I had an opportunity to declare the nature and the character of God. You're going to have those opportunities this summer. It may be standing in the line of the DMV. It may be Walmart. It may be talking with your neighbor. It may be a conversation, extending the conversation with a friend that you have been in conversation with for years. It may just come out in conversation as you are declaring the character of God. But we have been called to declare his greatness. And then verse 3 says, "Declare his marvelous works among all the peoples." Verse 3 says, not only do we declare his greatness, but we declare how his greatness is at work in this world. We declare how his greatness is at work in our individual lives. This is the personal testimony that you and I get to share. Not just our salvation testimony, but the testimony of how God is at work in our lives. This past week, the city of Laredo, just kind of had an all, kind of trash items pickup day. You just all put it out there on the curb. And so a couple days before that, we just put up some items that people could just take for free. So we had a couple chairs out there and a little sign that just said free. And so it was the evening, and we were just kind of out in the front yard just playing basketball and the things that we do. And there's a truck that pulls up. The lady hops out and she goes, "I'm going to take your chairs." We said, "Please do." And so started talking with her, and she said, "Now, I never remember seeing this house for sale." I said, "Well, it never was ever on the market." And so then I got to tell her the story of how God provided that home for us through the relationships that were in this church and the amazing way that he opened the door for us to have this home. It was an opportunity in just an everyday life of a woman coming to pick up free chairs, and God just gave that opening about our home, and I could say, "Can I tell you about the works of our God?" You know what the best part of this story is? Her response. "I love it when God does that. Can I tell you my story of how God was at work in my life?" And I said, "I'd love to hear that." See, sometimes when we share of his marvelous works, it may just be used for us to encourage another believer in Jesus Christ. Other times, it may simply be that we're declaring that there is a very real God at work in our life, and he can be at work in your life. as we enter into the summertime, may it simply not be a summertime. May it not just be a time that maybe it's a little lighter ministry-wise, corporately as a church. May it not simply be a time that we're thinking about where we're going to get away. But may we begin to say, all right, Lord, I know that there are going to be new relationships that you are going to bring into my life. I know, just because of the nature that we're going to be traveling this weekend and stopping at restaurants and gas stations and just seeing people around, there's going to be new opportunities to declare your glory and declare that you are a God at work. And it begins with us being worshipers, aware that God is at work. It begins with us recognizing the new things that He is doing and praise Him for those things and then proclaiming those things. May this be a Psalm 96 summer for us. Maybe take that verse and write it down and stick it in your van as you're going somewhere. Stick it in your home. God, this summer, may I declare your glory to someone. This summer, may I declare the work that you have been doing in my life to someone. And look for those openings, those moments, those questions that people are going to ask. And with boldness and in grace, tell your story of how God has redeemed you. How your God has saved you. How your God leads you day by day. Declare His salvation in your life. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up here. And while they do, I just want to pray a prayer of commissioning over us. And so what I would ask is if everyone would stand right now. We are heading into our season as missionaries. I don't know where you're going. Maybe it's just a weekend away. Maybe you have a big trip planned. Maybe it's simply that you are going to be out in your yard more than you normally are. I want to pray over us that we have a place of worshiping God. We would declare Him and proclaim Him this summer. Let me pray over us. Father in heaven, You have given us a task. You have given us as believers in Jesus Christ the task to go and to make disciples. You have given us the ministry of reconciliation, to see people come to the awareness that they need a relationship with You through Your Son Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that those sitting in this room, I pray for all of us as the Village Church family, that we would go into the summer with eyes looking for opportunities to declare Your glory. It may be praying over a woman at the DMV. It may simply be sharing our story with a neighbor we just met. Father, You are at work, and You desire all people to be saved. And You desire to use Your people to accomplish those things. And so we know that You're going to be inviting us into relationships this summer. God, give us the eyes to see and give us the boldness to respond. And we ask this all in Your Son's precious name.